Good morning and happy Easter, everyone. It is so good to see you today. My name is Tim Ciccone, and let me just greet our people online as well. It's great to be together on Easter. And what I want you to do is just look at a kid in the room, teenager or other, little kid, and just say, hey, it's so good to have you in here. Let's just acknowledge the kids for a minute. Look at them. That's perfect. It's so good. Very nice. Now, happy Easter. It is so beautiful today. We are so glad the kids are in the room, and it is beautiful springtime weather. This is our moment, and today we come together to celebrate the moment of all moments, the epic moment in history that has changed not just our lives today, but what is to come, and I'm so glad you're here. Now, before I get started, let me just say this. Happy Easter, and for some of us in this place, we live for today. We've been so excited to get up this morning to celebrate all that is to come and to follow Jesus into this resurrection celebration. For some of us, whether you're online or in the room here, this maybe is one of the few times during the year that you're a part of church or maybe even engaging God in any way. And I am just so glad that you are here and with us. It is an honor to have you join us this morning, and welcome to New City, and thank you for being a part of this celebration, and what an opportunity it is for us on this journey today. We're going to dig into Scripture a little bit this morning, but I'm going to pray for us and ask God to bless our time together. So would all the kids, all the teenagers, and all the adults, please join me in a word of prayer. God, we love you, and we are so thankful for your resurrection. We are so thankful for this epic moment that happened not just 2,000 years ago, but literally we celebrate it every day of our lives. Thank you for those that are gathered here in this place, for those who have come on different parts of their journey at different times. I pray, God, that you would be especially present with each of us this morning as we celebrate the resurrection. Father, may we see you for all that you are, your deep love for us, your compassion for us, the way that you are wooing us in. And Father, I pray also that you would be with us, those of us in this room that are in a season of struggle. Maybe there's difficulty in our lives, things that are challenging that we're walking through. God, be especially with us in this moment of celebration as well. And Father, would you unite our hearts together as we celebrate you? I want to get out of the way of what your Spirit is doing and just follow you, Jesus. We bring these things to your feet, and we ask you to reign in this place. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I just want to start this morning with a question. I want to ask you, how did your Easter morning start today? Was it the perfect morning? Did you get up with the sunrise, Bible in hand, coffee in the other, maybe a journal or your devotional, or maybe you sat out and you just went, happy Easter, by yourself, had the perfect morning, you know, took a shower, got your nice Easter clothes on, looked in the mirror, said, yes, it's working today, it's Easter. Was it the perfect morning? If you have kids, did your kids bring you breakfast in bed today? Was it that kind of a morning? Or was it the opposite? Did you wake up this morning, you didn't feel super great, maybe there was a little bit of arguing, maybe, you know, your kids got their nice Easter clothes on and then went downstairs and had waffles with syrup, and we all know what happens when people eat waffles and syrup, stickiness everywhere. Was the car not running well? What was your morning like today? It's a good question, because our scripture this morning actually tells us about the very first Easter morning. And it's found in Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read it for us right now, and I think it will also be on the screen. The first Easter morning started out like this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And the men said to them the question of the day, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Now, I can only really imagine what this morning would have been like. These women likely were in a spirit of deep grief and lament. Just 3 days prior, Jesus was crucified and buried, and he breathed his last breath. He said, it is finished. And they put him in a grave, and they rolled the stone in front of the tomb. All of their hopes and dreams for what Jesus had promised to them was gone. The grief and lament that these women would have went to the tomb that day would have been overwhelming. They came to put spices on Jesus' dead body, which was a common practice in those days. And what they meet was extraordinary. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And friends, this is the question of Easter. And it's not just a question that changed all of history 2,000 years ago. It's actually a question, dare I say, the most compelling question we could ever ask, even today, Easter 2023. For many of us, we have lived our lives searching for something significant, searching for our lives to have an identity that we can be proud of, searching for a life that belongs to something beautiful, searching for a purpose to commit ourselves to. And yet, so for many people in the world, we try to find answers in spaces that often let us down. Spaces that often at the beginning look promising. They look shiny and nice. Maybe it's a career path or a relationship. Maybe there's different choices that we've made throughout our lives that look good, but they end in desperation and depression, and maybe even situations where we found ourselves disappointed. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've experienced these situations in your own life. Maybe we could even refer to these spaces as dead spaces. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That is the question of the day. And the question that is asked has a very unique answer, and it's found in the form of a gift. The answer to this question is found in the form of a gift. And we all love gifts, right? We all love gifts. And sometimes some of us are difficult to buy gifts for because we just buy everything for ourselves. Amen, right? But we all love gifts. In fact, I can think of two different gifts in a minute. Kirk, I'll have you show those gifts. Two different gifts in my life that I've been given that were so special to me. One was when I was 6 years old, and for my mom who's watching online, shout out to my mom and dad who gave me this gift when I was 6 years old. I remember it so fondly because my sixth year birthday was my golden birthday. And in Minnesota and the surrounding areas, we love golden birthdays, right? And my parents on my birthday said, Timmy, come on down. I want to show your gift. It's in the garage. I opened the garage door, and there was a brand new big wheel. Look at this thing. Has anybody ever had one of those before? A big wheel? Or I'm sorry, a green machine? It's a type of big wheel. That's what I meant. The green machine was so amazing because the front tire was oversized, the back tires were smaller, and you steered it with levers. It was so much fun. You could do 360s, and at least for that day, on my sixth birthday, I was the coolest kid in the neighborhood for just a little bit of time because of the green machine. And then I got another great gift just this last Christmas from my family. We were opening gifts together, celebrating Christmas like all of you probably were. And my family gave me a box that had great wrapping paper on it. I tore it open, opened up the box, and there, glowing from inside the box, was one of my favorite gifts. A brand new box of Titleist Pro V1 golf balls. Now, okay, this doesn't mean something to many of you, right? Kirk's just putting his hand up. Listen, the Pro V1 golf ball is considered by many to be the best golf ball in the industry. The best players in the world use this. It goes farther, it costs more money, and for a hot minute, I felt like a legit golfer, which, of course, I am absolutely not. But it was a beautiful gift. I loved it. Now, here's the question for you. We're going to do something a little bit different on Easter service. I actually want you to think about, what's one of the best gifts you've ever been given? It doesn't have to be the top gift, but one of the best gifts you've ever been given. And I just want you to turn to somebody, your neighbor. It can be somebody you know, maybe you came here with, or maybe it's somebody you want to meet new, and just tell them, you got like 90 seconds, what was one of the best gifts you've ever been given? Ready, set, go. Okay, let's bring it back together. Let's bring it back together. And I actually want to hear from a few people in the room. What was the gift that you told us? Can I first hear from one of our teenagers in the room? I know there's a handful of you in the room. Any teenagers want to be brave and share what was one of your favorite gifts? I might end up calling one of my kids if a teenager doesn't volunteer. Anybody? Any teenager want to share their gifts? Just shout it out. What'd you say? Clark? Caleb? What do you guys think?
PS5.
A PS5. Let's give it up for a PS5. It's a PlayStation. Okay, one of our kids. I want to hear from one of you. Is there a kid that wants to share? Miles, go ahead.
A Pokemon.
That's very good. One more kid. Ethan? An Xbox. Those are pretty good gifts. Okay, adults. Let me hear from one of you. Sally.
When John and I were dating, we had a thing where we had a competition with Jacks.
Oh.
So on Valentine's Day, he gave me a set of Jacks in a heart-shaped box.
Unbelievable. That's so beautiful. Thank you. A set of Jacks and a heart shape. John is a romantic at heart, right? You look very nice today, by the way, John. Yes. Yep. One more adult. What was another gift that you... Yes, Karen.
My engagement ring.
You're engaged? Oh, that's a great gift, right? We love gifts. We love giving gifts. We love getting gifts. But listen to this. When it comes to gifts, we might all be able to agree on this phrase, and this is very important to our conversation today. One of the hardest things to give somebody is a gift they think they already have. One of the hardest things to give somebody is a gift they think they already have. The very thing that we need most in this life is the very thing we think we already have, and that's the gift of life. Jesus came to give us life. But we think we already have life, and it's no wonder, right? We live and we move and we breathe. We have hope, we have love, and we struggle in life. We even have wounds in our lives. Now, I'd like to call up my 8-year-old son, Ethan. Ethan, can you come up on stage and join me for a minute? Ethan's going to help me with this next illustration. You can stand right over here, little buddy. This is my son, Ethan. Everybody say hi, Ethan.
Hi,
Ethan. Ethan has been known as my little mini-me. I don't know if you can tell, but Ethan's going to help us with this. So, Ethan, what I want you to do is what we've got on this little tabletop over here is Band-Aids. And we got the kids in the room, so I thought this would be really helpful today, which is really special. So, Ethan's going to take one of the Band-Aids, and you're just going to kind of take the tape off like this, and I want you just to put it on me kind of like that. Okay? You can do it with all those, and I want you to put some on yourself as well. Because we're going to talk a little bit about Band-Aids. Now, Jesus, while Ethan's doing that, I'll just keep talking. Is that okay? Yep, there you go. Very good. Now, Jesus came to give us life. But we think we already have life. This is very important. And we think about it. We understand why this is. We were all born. It's one of the things that we have in common in this room. We make friends. We all make memories. It's on the back there. There you go. We all make memories. We move around. Maybe some of us have the opportunity to fall in love. Maybe some of us have had our hearts broken. That's perfect, buddy. Maybe even in our lives, we're thriving. Maybe every day is just a celebration. Or maybe right now, you're in a season where you're just trying to survive from one day to the next. Now, along our journey, I'll just put one over here. There you go. You're going to keep the cartoon ones for yourself? Yeah, is that right? Along the journey of life, we all encounter struggles, right? And with those struggles comes wounds. So what do you do when you get injured? That's really good. Well, sometimes we put on Band-Aids on these wounds, right? It might be a surface injury. It might be something that goes a little bit deeper. But we all know that what's important about a Band-Aid is it doesn't actually heal the wound, right? It promotes healing, but it doesn't actually heal the wound. And as we have this journey of life, we have struggles. And we discover that it's actually pretty easy to poke holes to wound this happiness that we search for in our lives. They poke holes in our lives, these wounds, and so we start to patch them up. We patch these holes up even at a young age, like 8 years old. And our default is to use whatever sort of Band-Aid we can find to patch up these wounds. No matter how many holes we get poked with, we continue to patch one after the other. It's the human way. And Ethan, I just want to say thank you for your great help. I've got Band-Aids everywhere. Can you see that? Okay, let's thank Ethan, everybody, for his help. You did a great job, buddy. You can have a seat, okay? Good job. The reality is this, and this is what we're talking about on Easter today, is that Jesus, everybody hear this, offers a different kind of life, a different kind of existence, and a different kind of healing. Jesus' missional goal was not to make our existence better or easy or happy-go-lucky. In fact, Jesus' mission is trying to move us from just existing to really living. What the women at the grave that first Easter morning that they might have forgotten was that the angels wanted to remember them is this. Everyone hear this. Not everything that looks like life is truly life. Now, let me pause for a minute and go on a little bit of a hilarious rabbit trail. Because some of you might know this, but I am actually a kind of secret fan of one of the biggest pop stars of our generation. This person is one of the most genius songwriters of our time. She is a cultural commentator. And even with just those couple of the descriptors, I know some of you already know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Taylor Swift. That's right. Who's a Swiftie in the room? Anybody with me? The girls in the back. Thank you so much. Nobody else? We need to expand our musical horizon. Maybe it's me that needs to expand my musical horizon, right? But I am a secretly Taylor Swift fan. Now listen, in 2015, Taylor Swift released a song that some of you have heard before. It was called Bad Blood. And even Taylor Swift knows what I'm talking about today because one of the lyrics that's kind of an extreme lyric that she put in her song, she said this, Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes. Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes. Now, even T-Swift, which is what I like to call her, T-Swift, you know, Taylor and I, even T-Swift knows that there are certain wounds that our lives encounter that Band-Aids just can't fix. And yet we try over and over to fix these poked holes in our lives with Band-Aids. We do it to try to find life. We do it to try to find a purpose. We do it to try to find belonging. And they never get the job done, and they always disappoint. On that first Easter morning, the women and the disciples believed that Jesus was the Savior of their world. They didn't understand that Jesus was the Savior of the world. They just knew that their world had crumbled down, that all their hope, all the promises, all the things that Jesus represented was lying in a grave, was dead, and the stone had rolled away. Their hope was lost. That's how they encountered the first Easter morning. And as they walked around on that cold morning to visit their dead hope, we hear the words of Scripture again from Luke 24 when it says this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. The men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Remember how he told you. This is the clue to remembering the power of the resurrection. The angels offer this clue to this question that they ask. They say, remember how Jesus told you. When Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will still live even after he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus said in John 10:10, a verse that so many of us hang on to, especially in times of struggle, that I have come to give you life, Jesus said, and give it to the full, to give it abundantly. Friends, here is the invitation today to embrace the reality of Easter. What the angels were basically saying to the women that morning is that if you treat Jesus like every other religious leader in all of history who has died, like every other religious leader throughout all of history who has died, if you treat Jesus like that, if you treat him as a brilliant teacher, someone who did really good things in his life, for the world even, and even if Jesus' truth of his teaching marches on, but he does not march on, you will never, ever find him because he's not there. He has risen. And that exact phrase meets us today, this Easter 2023. He is risen. The scripture passage written by Luke begins by showing us that the tomb, my dear friends, is empty. And the bones are gone. that Jesus Christ is really who he said he was, the Son of God, and he has risen. Christianity is life improving. Hear this, please. Christianity is life improving through conforming to a commitment to an ideal. Yes, it benefits the world and it benefits us. The moral and ethical standard that Jesus taught is amazing. So it's life improving when we live and follow the Jesus way. But Christianity is life transforming through relating to a living Lord, a risen Jesus Christ. And this transformation begins when we embrace the reality of the resurrection. The women on that day and the other disciples, they didn't expect a miracle, but that is exactly the gift they received. Now, a dear friend of mine talks about this at length. He talks about why it's so important to believe in a resurrected Christ. It'd be easier to not, but this is the crux of Christianity. He talks about why it's so important to understand the resurrected Christ, and he names four malfunctions that have happened in our world that matter to God and caused God to send his son Jesus to die on a cross, and that 3 days later, rose from the grave. The first malfunction that my friend talks about is between us and our Creator, or us and a good God. There's a brokenness that has happened between us and God. Sin has entered the world, and it's created a chasm. It's created a block between us and a God who loves us. There's a malfunction in the system. A brokenness has come down. There's a brokenness between us and God that Jesus came to fix. And that led to the second malfunction, which is the brokenness within ourselves. One thing that we all share together is a sin disposition, friends. The one qualification we have of becoming a part of New City is that you can't be perfect. Welcome to the club, right? We have a sin that has broken us. Our hearts are broken. Our souls are broken. Our minds are broken. Our bodies are breaking. We are going to die. There's a malfunction that has happened in this world that Jesus came to fix. The first is a brokenness, a malfunction between us and our Creator. The second is within us, and the third is with each other. There's a malfunction with the way that we relate to others in the world. Our relationships are broken. And the fourth is a little more meta, but it's our brokenness with the world. That God's creation gets abused every day. There's a malfunction that has happened with the way that we relate to the created order. Jesus came because God made a plan to make these malfunctions right. And God knew that we couldn't do it on our own. That no matter what or who we put in to fix these malfunctions, it doesn't have a good outcome because the system is broken. And so Jesus sets the system right through his death and his resurrection. And friends, this is the gift. The invitation for us all is to embrace the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection means that death has lost its sting. And what happens when death has lost its sting? What happens when we embrace the power of the resurrection, especially when we're used to putting band-aids all over the bullet holes of the wounds of our lives? We're made whole again. And Jesus begins to remove these patches, these temporary things that never really got the job done. Jesus then gives us a new identity, a new belonging, and a new purpose. One writer said it like this: our lifelong longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside, it is no mere fantasy, but the truest indicator of our real longing to truly live, to be made whole. And the way through that door is through Easter. The way through that door is the open tomb. And friends, I invite you to go in there, to look around and see that Jesus is gone, that he has risen from the grave, and to say yes to his invitation to follow him. For some of you, it might be the first time you ever commit your life to Christ. For others of us, maybe it gets us back on the path that we need to be on. Would you see the power of the resurrection and the invitation to embrace it for all of its worth? I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus, say yes to this gift, and to let your life be defined by the good news of Jesus' love for you and me. And we invite you to participate in what we're doing here at New City. We're just trying to do our best to follow Jesus. We're trying to raise up a generation of Jesus followers, and we're praying through ways that God can use this church to bless our community, because we believe that's the Jesus way. And you're invited in. No perfect people allowed, just people willing to journey together. May it be true of you and for me in this place. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this celebration. We thank you so much for this moment, this epic moment in time that changed all of history. And God, I want to thank you for your love for each of us, that you know every single one of us by name, so much so that you sent your Son to die for each of us, that there's no person in this room that is distant from your love. And God, I want to just lay down these wounds that might be a part of our lives. Each of us have a different story. If we could stand up here and tell our stories, God, we would see that the wounds run deep. Thank you, God, for your healing, that you can make us whole. And I want to pray for the person in this room who's thinking about saying yes to you, Jesus. May you give them the courage to let their life be transformed by following you. And I pray for the person in this room that maybe just needs to get back on track with their life. Maybe they've grown up with you. They've given their lives to you at some point. They followed you at one point, but recently it's been difficult. God, help them to know that they are loved, that your grace covers them just like it covers us all. And may they too be transformed by your love, by the power of your resurrection. God, we give you the glory for this place. We thank you for our incredible kids in this room. We pray, Father, that you would let them know that they're loved by us, by a loving God. And Father, help us to be a place that cares for them as well. Father, on this Easter day, as we go now and celebrate with family and celebrate the goodness of springtime, may we be in tune to your Spirit's movement in our lives, and may you get all the glory. We pray these things, Father, knowing that you are risen, that you are risen indeed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And amen. Would you please stand with me and let's sing one last song this morning.